is Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what we've seen already this morning. Thank you for the way that you have been moving among us, touching us through worship, through the word, through pictures, through one another. Thank you for the love and compassion that we've already felt in this place this morning. We worship you and we praise you, Lord. And we thank you for the seeds that we're about to plant. Thank you for the truths in your word. Worship you and we praise you for what we hold in our hands, for the good news. So as we plant these seeds, we speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, so that these seeds are not stolen, taken away. We pray for understanding so that they will grow and germinate and produce fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm really thankful that the Holy Spirit is here, because I need him to come through big time right now. Because you'll see I've not got my iPad. No. I've got a message already and prepared on Ephesians 1:10. I looked at it and he just said, no, not today. So, here's hoping we get some verses and get something to preach on. I think I know where we're going. We need to know that we are healed. We need to know that the will of the Father is that we are healed. We need to know that the will of the Father is to heal our friends. I need to hear this as well this week. I've got a good friend going in for major surgery on Tuesday. And I need to know that the Lord wants him supernaturally healed. In fact, he wants him healed before he goes in to get this operation. But I'm speaking out, he's probably not in the place at the moment, but I'm speaking out supernatural healing. We all need something in our lives healed, be it physical or emotional. I'm not going to say spiritual, because in the spirit we're absolutely perfect. But in the soulish realm, mind, will and emotions, we've all got issues. I mean, I've already spoken about some of mine this morning. I could do with getting healed of sarcasm and aggression. Hallelujah. And I'm open and honest about that. I need to renew my mind to get away from that kind of nonsense. But that kind of nonsense has been healed as well. We've all got things in our bodies. Is there anyone in here who thinks they're 100% perfect in their mind and 100% perfect in their body? Because if you do, you need to be up here. And you don't need to listen to me. You need to be up here teaching me. We've all got something. But Scripture's clear. And I'm hoping the Holy Spirit gives you some verses soon. Scripture is clear that this is his will. John 10:10. Let's start there. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This tells us a lot, this verse. Speaking about what the enemy does, speaking about what Jesus does, speaking about what the enemy tries to do, speaking about what Jesus has done. Okay, it talks about the enemy first. It says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You can't steal what someone doesn't have. You can't kill what isn't alive. You can't destroy what is in existence. That's why I say the enemy is trying to do things. Jesus has done it. Jesus has given us life. He's given us healing, peace, prosperity, joy. He's given us all those things, and we have them. We just need to know that. How can you say we've got them, Vic? Because the enemy comes to steal them. The enemy can't steal joy unless you've got joy. Yeah. No one could come into my house and steal my telly. Do you know why? Because I haven't got a telly. The enemy can't steal what we don't have. The enemy wants to kill you, metaphorically and physically. It's kind of a stupid policy, because he's trying to kill you and send you to heaven. So if you lose, you win. But he can't kill you if you've not been given life. And he can't destroy things in your life, like abundance and things that you have, if you've not got it. We've been given all those things through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have them all already right now. I mean, goodness, Ephesians 1:3, we talked about that recently. Ephesians 1:3, we have all spiritual blessings. We have it all. All the healing we'll ever need. All the prosperity we'll ever need. All the joy, all the peace. Everything, all we ever need has been provided already. Like that wonderful picture Nunzi had. What did I say last week? I love getting bits of typology and understanding them before Nunzi. I really like that. But, oh man, she has had some crackers. That picture of everything on the table. Lisa's job. I'm having that. All our healings that we need, all the fixing of our minds, our wills and emotions, they're all there. They're on the table. That table is groaning. All we need to do is sit down and pick it off the table. That sounds easy, but it's not so simple. It's not simple when we've been bombarded with religion. It's not simple, Michelle, when we're being bombarded with unbelief. Yeah. Oh, I believe this. Yeah, but everybody around me doesn't. That's why when Jesus raised the girl back to life, didn't he get everybody out? It's like, you know, get out. It's like a picture of us trying to get rid of unbelief. Get rid of unbelief. That might be booting people out of a room. Don't take that literally, Michelle. Next time you're in there with members of your family and someone has a bit of doubt, please don't beat them up and say, oh, Pastor Vic said it was okay. You know, or anybody. You know, aren't we all surrounded by unbelief? Yes. Yeah, we can all picture people right now. Yeah. Unbelief. I've told you this before. Unbelief killed my dad. Yeah. My belief couldn't influence him enough. His unbelief. You know, it was a kind of, in a sense, it was a kind of good, he knew Jesus and that was okay. I know where he is. I'm going to see him again. I'm not going to get there because I'm going to get, I need to move on. But we need to get rid of unbelief. Unbelief's the problem, not a lack of faith. But Jesus came, it says, John 10:10. John 10:10 is an amazing verse. Not just because it says about what Jesus has done, about him coming to give us life and life in abundance, but it does tell us what the enemy's trying to do. And it shows us we already have it. He cannot steal, kill, and destroy what we already have. When we're sick, we shouldn't be trying, in a sense, to be healed. It's trying to get the sickness away because it's a sickness that's coming on a healed person. We need to have the mentality that we are a healed person that sickness is coming upon. We get away from the mentality of, I'm a sick person who needs to be healed. That's good. That must be the Holy Spirit. I like that. That's good. We have the mentality of a healed person who is under attack. A healed person who the enemy is trying to steal healing from. We're not sick people trying to get healed. It's the same kind of mentality as we're saints, we're not sinners. Yeah, we might be saints who sin now and again, but that's because we have an unrenewed mind. It's not because we have a sin nature. Let's get this mentality. We need to have the mentality of we're healed and the sickness is coming on. I'm prosperous, but my bank account is a lie. Prosperity is there. I have it. I have peace and calm and assurance in my mind. But these negative thoughts, this depression, that's coming on me. That's trying to get me. I am not a depressed person. I am a person who is at peace, but who's having this come upon me. That is important. You see, it's very important what we think. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." If we start thinking that we're healed people, if we start thinking we're healed people rather than sick people, we're more likely to see a manifestation of the healing. What are you meaning by that, Vic? We are already healed. In our born-again spirit, the second we were born again, we received all the healing we're ever going to need. Because everything that was going to be wrong with us going forward, all the sickness, illness and pain, that was all on Jesus on the cross. Jesus is not surprised about any of the sicknesses and illness we get because he's dealt with it already. He might be surprised the way we don't deal with it. Might be surprised that we go to the doctor first rather than the pastor. Not even that. We go to the doctor first rather than ourselves. We sing a song, "Healing is in my hands." You know, we changed that lyrics as well. The original lyric is, "Healing is in his hands." No, it's not. Who needs to put into action things on this earth for healing to flow? I was going to say, who does the healing? That's not right. We're the conduit. We're who Jesus flows through. Jesus said, "Lay hands on the sick and they will be healed." Jesus didn't say, "Speak, pray for healing and I will heal them." Because he's already done it. We've already received all the healing we ever need. So we have to think in that way. But that's really difficult because we grow up, we're surrounded by religion that says, well, God uses illness in order to improve us. God uses illness to teach us lessons. That again, the phrase I used last week, that's a twisted God. That's a twisted God. Yeah. Michelle, if you were trying to teach Reggie about electricity and the dangers of it, would you electrocute her? No, sorry, ask the wrong person there. Sorry, that was naughty. You're a lovely, lovely mother. Thank you. You know, if we're trying to teach our kids about electricity, we don't electrocute them. Yeah? Dave and Chris, when you were teaching Dave and Rachel about crossing the road, you didn't wait till a car came and then push them out. Now, don't do that. Again, I'm not so sure about him because he was the one that was hiding the Easter eggs last week, wasn't it? We paint God, Father God, in this ridiculous image of a schizophrenic. Yeah, I love you, but I'm going to give you pain. I love you, but I'm going to make your dad ill. I love you, but I'm going to take your mum because we need another angel in heaven. Ooh, not good. So we're surrounded by that. And then we're surrounded by unbelief. So, it's October, folks. Get your flu jabs before you get the flu. Because you're all going to get the flu. No, we're not. So we think we're not going to get the flu. So I go to my annual checkup year after year. And the nurse says, "So are you refusing your flu job again?" "Yep." "I have to write that down." I say, "You write down what you want, dear." "I'm not having it." You know, because it's for last year's flu, and it might just help you a little bit. It's not necessarily going to work, but I'm not a scientist, but never mind. So we're surrounded by this doubt and unbelief. I mean, just switch on the news. You know, switch on the news. It's all negative. One plane crashed. Oh, but did the 49,999 other ones land okay? Or, you know, you never, if the planes don't crash, you never see at the end of the news, well, we have some good news today. No aeroplanes crashed. There was no motorway pile-ups. No famous pop star died. So it's a positive day. No, we don't get news like that. We're surrounded by negativity. We're surrounded by unbelief. You are bombarded with advertising to say, buy this Lemsip and that other cold and flu remedies are available. Buy the Tesco and other stuff, because it's the same ingredients, just a cheaper price. Nunzi knows me, and I'm not quite there yet in certain areas, okay? And we suffer, don't we, men? If we have really bad flu, we let them know, and we suffer. Yeah. And Nunzi will say, oh, darling, do you want me to get you a sachet of doubt and unbelief and make it up for you? Do you want a nice hot drink of doubt and unbelief? Yes, please. That would be really nice. So, you know, we're all on a journey. But we need to get out of this mindset of negativity and that, yeah, it's flu season, so it's okay to be ill. You know, they're old, we should expect that. No. Let's not expect that. I'm not preaching this because I've got it right. I was lecturing the other day, and I heard myself say this. It was at the end of a long room, and I had the students there, and the way they had it set up, I had to look at the thing that was being projected. There wasn't a computer screen near me. So I was sitting at the end of the room, at the end of the table, away from the projector, away from the screen, and I was looking, and I said, I can't see that. Can anybody see where that presentation is? Because it was on the desktop. Can anyone see the presentation about exports? And somebody said, oh, it's the third one down. So I went and I clicked on it. And I said, you see, I'm getting old. My eyes are not as good as... I'm going to be 50 soon. Speaking out my old age and infirmity. We do it. We get up out of a chair, and every time I seem to get out of a chair now, we go, when I go down into a chair, that again is me speaking out. And not only as a man thinketh, you know what's coming next out of Proverbs 18? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So not only do we need to stop thinking inappropriate thoughts, we need to stop verbalizing them and speaking them out. Will you stop saying you're tired all the time? Is another comment from my beloved. I don't think I'm as bad as I used to be. I'm kind of learning. But you know what? If you come home from work and come in the door and the first thing you say is, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm tired. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. You're going to be tired all evening. Why? Because as a man thinketh, so is he, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. You come in that door and say, oh, it's great to be home, I feel so energised, can't wait, what's for tea? Oh no, sorry, I do the cooking as well. I had a great day, it was good, I'm looking forward to the evening. Things would be so much better. We talk ourselves down all the time. Well, I don't think I could do that. I don't think I'm able to do that. Well, no, you're not going to do it. I really don't think I could run my own business. I don't think I could find work. I don't think I could do this. No, well, you're not going to. I don't think I've got enough money to do that ministry. Well, you know, you've not. Because you're speaking it out. Now, you may be sitting there and not have money for this ministry, but start speaking it out as if it's the truth. Because you do have the money. It's just not there yet. It's not been manifest. If God's told you to do something, we're speaking about this at a guy's night. If God's told you to do something, He'll provide the provision. So speak it out even if it's not physically there. As a man thinketh, so is he. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus has come to give me abundant life, so I'm going to speak that out. I am prosperous. I have got a successful business. I am going to climb up the ladder at work if that's what you want to do, if it's your career. But I am healed. I am at peace. I have got joy. I'm not tired. Even if you feel it. Nunzi used to have an issue. Forgiveness. Nunzi had a hard time at school. She's got a beautiful accent. Trouble is, we're in the northeast of Scotland and her accent was English. Oxford best. Didn't go down very well in a Scottish school in the 70s and 80s. And you'd think that would be with the kids. It's a bit of a problem when it's the headmaster. Bit of a problem with the headmaster who doesn't like your accent. Now, Nunzi, you'll also know if you've heard her do an impersonation of me, Nunzi is a wonderful mimic. Really good mimic. They used to have an annual competition at school, the Robbie Burns competition. And Nunzi could read a Robbie Burns poem in broad Scots, and she's an actress. It was brilliant. So she won the competition for reading the Robbie Burns poetry. So when the headmaster, in front of all the school and the parents, came up to give Nunzi her prize, he apologised for having to give it to an English girl. Now, quite rightly, Nunzi has had a few issues with that over the years and found it particularly hard to forgive this man. But we spoke about it, and it was an issue and all that. But then Nunzi eventually started saying, I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive him. Speaking it out. And eventually, she received that. And that man is now forgiven. Because she started speaking it out and starting to believe it. See, sometimes the speaking out comes before the thinking. Quite often when I'm teaching about this, it's you must change your thinking, then change the way you speak out, and that'll change your life. And that is true. But sometimes if you're not seeing something manifest, speak it out and speak it out, declare it, and then you'll start believing it after a day, a week, a month, a year, I don't know. And then you'll see it manifest. You say, well, you're just pretending, Vic. No, I'm declaring into the physical what is already in the spiritual. And our words have creative power. How did God create the worlds? By speaking it out. How can we change things in the world? By speaking it out. Now, folk might think that they're daft, but I know there's a couple of people in here who speak to the weather. I got off Isla one time by speaking to the weather. Purely selfish. I said, I'm not staying on this island 1 minute longer. I've had enough of this island. I want to get home. Sea, you are going to be calm. Waves, you are going to stop. Wind, you are going to cease. That ferry got off. Nobody else got off for 4 days. I mean, I was stuck on Isla for another 4 days. It's time they built a bridge. It'd be a big bridge. That's quite hard. You're sitting there and thinking, what? Really? I can't even speak to a headache at the minute. How difficult is it to speak to the wind? We can do it. We sing a song that says, the wind and waves still know his name. I'll tell you who else's name they know. Yours. We speak out creative words. You know what else we speak out? Destructive. Now, the New Agers have got this. There's that book, I think it's called, is it The Secret? Secret? It's not secret, it's in Proverbs. The big secret is as a man thinketh, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. They don't put it in so many words. But the big secret is, you speak out what you want and the universe will give you it. That's not actually what happens, but it's what will happen, because we speak things out and it's created. We can speak out positive things over our lives, positive things over other people's lives. Or we can speak out negativity, speak out death. I remember one time, before I'd grasped this, but I remember Miriam, our niece, having a real go at me one time, and in the old church. If anybody knows the old church we were in, we had a few difficulties, but we had a really lovely youth pastor called John Gamble. And like every time I worked with that guy, the spirit of slap came all over me. His idea of working and preparing for a meeting at 6:30 was turning up at 29 minutes past. And my idea of preparing for a meeting at 6:30 was a week's preparation, where we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Now, eventually, we worked together, and me and John both changed and came closer. We're still probably quite far out. But anyway, he done something one day, and I said something to him. I said, "That guy is an idiot." And Miriam said, "Don't speak that out over his life." And I said, "Well, just kind of stating the truth." And she said, "Well, you know, he might do things wrong, but you shouldn't be speaking things like that over people's lives." Man, that's so true, isn't it? It could be, "Well, that guy, John, he does some idiotic things," which is slightly different. The boy's not an idiot, much as I perceived that. Some of the things John did, he is an amazing guy. I love him to bits, but I could have strangled him at times. But we don't speak out things over people like that. Negativity. It breaks my heart going through Tesco's and Asda, hearing what some parents are saying to their kids. Just breaks my heart. But what can you do? Step in and get a punch? I don't know. But we need to learn, as a man thinketh, so is he. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Where are you going with this, Vic? Abundant life. Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. Where does sickness get involved in an abundant life? It's not. You look through the scriptures, look through the gospels. We covered this a little bit last week. There are loads of scriptures, especially in John. Just trawl your way through John, through the red verses, i.e. that's what Jesus spoke. And you'll see that he can only do what the Father does. I'm not here on my mission, I'm here on his mission. I can only do what the Father does. I only know what the Father sees. I can only do things that the Father does. And then look to Jesus, and you know what the Father does. Jesus came, and time after time after time, healed people. Healed them all. Once, it was like when he was in Nazareth, it was said he could do no mighty works but heal a few people. I'll start with that. Maybe heal a few people in Avis. Thank you very much. But that wasn't Jesus' problem. That was the unbelief of the other people who knew Jesus as he was growing up. Jesus never refused to heal the people in Nazareth because they didn't believe who he was. Weren't believers. Weren't followers. Once Jesus had to put his hands on somebody twice. But never did he refuse to heal. And also, never, ever, ever, I challenge you, find the scriptures and I will change my whole doctrine. Find me the scripture where Jesus made someone sick. Nowhere. So, if we see that for Jesus, we can transfer that onto the Father. So the Father's will is to always heal. That's actually technically incorrect. It's not always the Father's will to heal. Because the Father has already healed. His will is for us to receive that healing. The provision has been made By his stripes, we are going to be healed. By his stripes, we might be healed if we fast enough. Where? Past tense. Promised in Isaiah, fulfilled in the Gospels, shown to be true in the New Covenant. Stripes healing. Awesome. The will of the Father, therefore, is always to heal. So what's the problem? What? Us and them. The problem's not God. That's why I'm saying we need to understand this. We need to know that it is the will for God to see everybody's relatives in this room healed.
Amen.
And living a fruitful life. And being able to communicate and understand. Live life abundantly. Where, oh where, does Alzheimer's fit into John 10:10? I'll tell you where it is. To steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it is. It's nothing to do with Jesus. And Jesus' name is higher than anything. Cancer, Alzheimer's. You don't want to go that far. Well, let's start with backache. So a backache healed this week. In the name of Jesus. Let's start with that. That might sound minor, but it's pretty good for the person that had to say her back. Yeah, let's start with some headaches. See your eyes, let's start with that. You know, there's lots of things. God has made the provision for everyone to be healed. We need to stand on that and be fast on that and not shake and not move on it, even when we see ourselves and we've been speaking that out for 10 years and we've not seen the manifestation of the healing. We need to keep standing on it because it's there and it's coming. You guys have heard me speaking about this a lot. I've changed my attitude about asthma. It's not my asthma anymore. It's what the enemy's trying to put on me. I am healed of that. There's something in here that's not quite understanding that in terms of asthma yet. But I'm on like 1/32nd. I'm still on that small amount of medication. I mean, for those of you that have been here long enough, you might remember I was off it completely for 4 months. And I told you, and then I told you when I had to go back on, because there was something there not working quite right. But I understand, I fully believe what the Bible says, and I'm standing on that. And I'm not stopping praying for healing, because I'm not seeing a complete manifestation in my life. There's something up here that's not been renewed yet, and I've not got it. There's some bit of ignorance up there that I don't truly understand, so I'm not seeing it fully. But am I going to condemn myself? No. Don't condemn yourself if you're on medication. And the other thing is, don't be stupid enough to go off it and hope that you have the faith to keep going. No, let your doctor tell you, you're healed. Let your chiropractor say, your back's looking really good this week. You don't need to come back. Let that happen. The provision's all been there. It's just sometimes, for whatever reason, and I'm telling you that so you don't feel condemned when you're sitting there and thinking, oh, Vic's standing up there, it's easy for him to say, you just need to believe it and receive it, just tack it off the table. Yeah, there's something I've not quite taken off the table. I kind of just see it yet. So I'm not standing up here in perfection. I am in my spirit, but definitely not in my body, definitely not in my mind just yet. I'm not standing up here perfect, preaching at you, and you've got to go away and do something. We're all in the same boat. We've all got something that we need that we're not quite understanding. So how do we get around that, Vic? Well, we get into the Word and we ask the Holy Spirit. But obviously, the Holy Spirit's obviously not telling you, Vic, because you've been asking him for years. No, I'm not listening.
Yes.
I'm not hearing something. Obviously, it's my fault, Vic. Aye. Mm-hmm. Well, it's your fault, or it's our fault, or it's my fault. But it's not God's fault. Look at Jesus. It is always God's will to heal. The leper came up to Jesus and said, wilt thou heal me? Did Jesus say, yeah, after a week's fasting? Yes, after a week's prayer. Yes, after you sort out the sin in your life. No. Jesus said, yes, I will heal you. We can put ourselves in the place of the leper. Acts 20 says God has no respecter of persons. That means no favourites. So what he did for the leper, you can go to him and say, wilt thou heal me? And he'll actually have a separate answer. He'll have a different answer for you. He'll not say, yes, I will. Yes, I have, is the correct answer. Scripture's really clear on this. It was promised in the Old Covenant through Isaiah, and we see the fulfillment. He provided healing for us. You look at that word salvation, it's the Greek word sozo. Yes, it means saved, ticket into heaven, but it also means healed. Anybody in here been born again and saved and say they're a born again Christian? Yeah, well, you've been healed of everything. It's in your born again spirit. What you need to do now is to work out that salvation in fear and awe and trembling, excitement, is the way I look at it. Work out that salvation. What, work it out as in mathematics? No, work it out as in get it out. Get that salvation out of your born again spirit into your mind and into your body. How do we do that? Romans 12, 2. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, if we want to see this supernatural healing manifest in our lives that has already been provided, it's like Nancy says, we need to believe it. As we sang today, we need to believe it, and then we need to receive it. You know, some folk don't like this expression, believe and receive. I'm okay with that. It's like you see folk getting slagged off on the internet. These American preachers blab it and grab it. No. That's actually the way it is. Blab it and grab it. You don't like that? You don't like blab it and grab it? Let's call it a declaration of appropriation. Does that sound better? That's what I call it. Declaration of appropriation. I've had a declaration of appropriation in the back of my Bible before I gave up work. Because when I gave up work, I was giving up a salary and pensions and shares. I needed to have income. I've got an expensive wife. All the guys are looking at me and saying, did you really say that? Did you notice that? Not one guy laughed at that joke. But all you ladies laughed at it. That was good. We have this saying that we say to each other when we do those kind of things. We just look at each other and say, it's a good job you're boofles. Covers a multitude of sins. You can't just blab it and grab it. It's got to be biblical. You can't speak out that you're going to win the lottery. Yeah. Well, that would be miraculous. It would be miraculous if I won the lottery. There are laws in force, spiritual laws that God has put in place for sowing and reaping and working hard in order to be blessed. You're blessed with the work of your hands. There are things in place for us to generate income. The lottery is not one of those. Is it a set? I don't know. If you want to do the lottery, well, do the lottery. I don't care. I'm not bothered. I've saved thousands of pounds over the years by not doing the lottery. There's ways and means of generating income. So you can't just say, I'm going to win the lottery. You can't be married and say, I want his wife. I'm going to speak out. Younger model. Or whatever. Thin ice. Oh, Lyra's pointing at me now. I haven't got Jackie anymore to keep me in line. I used to know when I'd gone too far, Jackie would just look at me. So you can't speak out things that are not biblical. You can speak out, you know, the word says, I am going to be blessed by the work of my hands. So I speak out at work, and I speak out well-paid work. Mm-hmm. You can speak that out. Or you can speak out, thank you, Lord, that I know the principles of sowing and reaping. I know that I am going to sow. I know I'm going to reap. So you can speak that out in your declaration of appropriation. And you can speak out specifics. I am going to pay off my mortgage by this date. I am going to do this by that date. As long as they're not unbiblical. As long as they are biblical. It's a declaration of appropriation rather than blab it and grab it. But this is all to do with healing. We know the Isaiah 53s, we know the 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes we were healed. So why am I not seeing it? Well, there's something we don't understand. So change the way we think. Change the way we speak. Maybe we have to change the way we speak first rather than what we think. I mean, my lightning fast mind, I've just realized this. I've shown you my declaration of appropriation before about being prosperous. And I think on a couple of occasions I've said, I need to have another one next to it, declaration of appropriation for healing. Where is it? I've not done it. Now, so we need to do our bit in order to believe. Now that might mean speaking something out 3 or 4 times a day. Andrew Womack says, you don't need a pill. 3 times a day, you need the gospel. You notice I put Andrew in front of it. That's nothing to do with me. I'm not claiming that. That's not my revelation. But there are things in the Word. It might be that we have to speak them out and speak them out and speak them out until we believe them. I believe about abundance and prosperity. And see it. There's something about healing that I'm just not there. Me and Evelyn have had conversations. She said, I got healing ages ago. Maybe we need to sit down and say, what do you know about healing? Tell me. Tell me everything you know about healing. And I'll tell you everything I know about abundance and prosperity. You know, we can learn from each other. The Bible's clear. Jesus healed all the time. Very clear. All the time. I don't know how many times it uses the word all. Jesus went into a village, healed all the people, delivered all the people, healed all the illnesses. There's nothing that is too high for Jesus. We have this thing, well, you know, a cold is different from a backache, different from diabetes. No, they're not. They are in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God, it's just another named illness that went on Jesus on the cross. No big deal. Healing's all provided. It's all there. We have everything we need, all spiritual blessings. By his stripes, we were healed. Jesus never put conditions on anyone. There was no, you had to do this, you had to do that, you had to stop sinning. The woman thrown in front of him in adultery. What did she have to do first to be forgiven and receive compassion? Nothing. Who condemns you? No one, Lord. Well, neither do I. Go and sin no more. The order of the words is very careful. Jesus didn't say, sin no more, and I will forgive you. Sin no more, and I'll not condemn you. It's the same with healing. We're healed. Sean's spoken about this. I've kind of spoken about this. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies in terms of lifestyle. But God doesn't say, unlike the NHS, you know, God doesn't say, right, you need to lose 5 stone before you get an operation. Jesus doesn't say, you need to lose 5 stone before you can get healed. Now, I know full well that if I lose a few pounds, stones, the manifestation of certain things are going to be a lot less because I'm not making it good for myself. But God's not saying, you need to do this, you need to do that before you can be healed. We've already been healed. We need to help ourselves so we can change our lifestyle, but we can also change the way we think and what we speak. He came to give us life in abundance. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. As a man thinketh, so is he. I'm sorry, guys, if you think you're a loser, you're going to be a loser. If you start thinking you're a winner, you've got more chance of seeing you're going to win. we grasped at that time, we were seeing our poor Lisa time after time not getting jobs. And as Nandi said, that's it. I am not having this anymore. She got angry. I'm not having that anymore. That job, we're having it. And we're going to speak out blessings on all the other people who have applied because they don't have a chance. We did. We spoke out blessings on the other people. Best example of that, getting angry, again, my beloved, when Zanny broke her arms. She just went nuts. I was going to Speed Bay, I was having a morning off, going to do a nice bit of bird watching, and then have a coffee and a toasty. I'm my own worst enemy. And I'd got to near my Stodloch, the phone went off, so I had Bluetooth at that point, so on. I wouldn't break the law. Put it on and speaking to Nunzi. I said, you need to come back. Oh, where are you? Well, I'm at my Stodloch. You know I'm going to Speed Bay. Well, you can't. You need to come back. Oh, right, okay. She said, what's happened? She said, oh, Zanny's broken her arms. Oh, no. So I'll come back. We need to come back. We need to pray. We need to sort this out. And I came back, and she was angry. Really angry. It's like, I'm not having this. I can't do all this work myself. I'm just not having it. Your arms can't be broken. We're not having that. And Zanny kind of got the same kind of attitude. And I came into agreement. And we all thought, no, she's healed. Those arms are healed. And we spoke her out. And that was miraculous recovery from those broken arms. Within days she was doing things. I was going to say unbelievable. We shouldn't say that. We shouldn't even say miraculous. That should be our norm. Well, we shouldn't be on stupid toys falling off in the first place, but but she'll learn. But, you know, if you do stupid things, you can get the manifestation of the healing straight away. And we saw that anger at the sickness, a righteous anger. She wasn't angry at Zan. Maybe she was a little bit, or maybe a wee bit. She was angry at the broken arms. And we could see it as an attack. You know, this is the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy in terms of the business. No, we're a prosperous business. We're not having that. We can't have somebody not working. We're busy. You need to get on that sewing machine and get working. You can't do that with broken arms, so those arms are healed. She was working within days. Speaking it out, believing it. And I think, and to a certain extent, that's one of my issues. Well, I'm only on 1/32nd of the medication. I don't use this inhaler anymore. I'm not feeling any real effects of this. What does it matter that I'm wearing glasses? I don't actually need perfect eyesight because I've got glasses. When you're knocking 50, you should be expected to. Is that what I'm saying? Is that what I'm thinking about being too passive? Anger. That's what I saw this morning. We get angry, but right anger, not angry at the people for being ill, angry at the illness, and not angry at the people who don't have the same belief as us. We need to speak out good things over them as well. Renew their minds, that would be great. Renew all their minds, then we're all in agreement. I know I'm kind of preaching to the converted here, but at the same time, we haven't all got it. Because we're not all perfect. The word talks about, is it 2 Timothy 3:16? We spoke about this a little bit at Murray Bible School last week. Get that in every week. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's a reason we need to have an abundant life. That's for good works. That the man of God may be perfect. Now, I know my spirit is perfect because when I was born again, my spirit was created in righteousness and true holiness, and it was sealed. And it's perfect forever. The man of God may be perfect, yes, in his mind and in his body. It says in here that we can live a life of absolute peace with perfect thoughts, no negative thoughts, and 100% supernatural health. That is perfection. Now, as I always say, and what I was speaking about it with Lyra at the school, I don't want to speak death or negativity. It's a possibility, but I'm not sure if it's a probability, because I'm not sure if I will ever be able to understand the word 100% so I can have 100% perfection. But what that verse is saying, the more we understand Scripture, the more we get it, the more we believe it, the more we speak it out, the more we will move towards perfection. That's what Romans 12:2 is. Be ye transformed, i.e. changed into something better by the renewing of your mind. So as we understand the Scripture, renew our minds to the truths, we'll move along that line towards perfection, i.e. less depression, less sickness, less pain, less illness. The word says we can. Now, there are some of us closer towards perfection than others. There's other people out there, and I just think, never been ill in 50 years. How do you manage that? He understands the word. He understands about healing. There's one guy I like listening to just now and reading a chap called Paul Milligan, who is a multi-millionaire, got so many businesses and kind of started with nothing, but grasped abundance and prosperity and sowing and reaping. And it's just doing amazing things and then plowing all that back into the kingdom. How can he do that? Because he understands about abundance and understands about sowing and reaping. And in that area of his life, I see him as pretty close to perfection. But I'm sure there's other areas that maybe he's not so close in perfection. Now, I'm not saying I'm anywhere near perfection. But I tell you, ask my wife and kids, I'm farther along the line than I used to be. I wasn't always the polished article that stands in front of you this morning. I haven't always been that devoted husband and fantastic father that stands in front of you today. There's been a change process. And we're all going through it. I said often enough, Romans 12:2, we need to keep doing that until the day we die. We need to keep renewing our minds to the day we die. Or till we reach perfection. And then you're becoming pastor. Hallelujah. So, what's the summing up of this? Healing is there for all of us. Claim it. I do say claim it. We live in a world of human rights. Most of them are nonsense. Most of them are just rubbish. My human right to be offended at what you're saying. My human right that you can't offend me. And rubbish. But we have rights as believers. And they are rights that we should be claiming. And claiming them for our family. And claiming them for our friends. And those rights, it's the sozo package. That's our, not human rights package, spiritual rights package. The sozo package. I have a right to healing. And it's not that we're demanding it from God. Saying, you give me that healing. I demand it. That is my right. No, we're not saying that. But it is our right to see that healing manifest. Because, bottom line, Jesus died for it. So it is my right to demand it. I demand you to understand this and come into line with my spirit so that then two against one, my body has to come into line and I have to be healed. Jesus came to give us an abundant life. We need to believe that. We need to receive it. We do that through understanding. So we think it and speak it out, or we speak it out until we believe it and think it. It is about believing and receiving. Guys, that table is laid out before you with everything that you need. Everything pertaining to life and godliness is there for you. How do you get it? Grabbing it. How do you grab it? By understanding about Jesus. Because that's what 2 Peter 1:3 says. Everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness, healing, peace, joy, prosperity, it's all there for us through the knowledge of Him. That's renewing your mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.